Hello everyone and welcome to the PSC drop-in number 6. It is 6, isn't it? V1. Hello, Joe.
How are you doing? It's like the Sony Xperia. It's got a terrible name, isn't it?
It's PSC 906. We'll see if anyone drops in and joins us today. A couple of people suggested they might, so we'll see what happens. If not, we'll just bang on about nothing or something, or try to talk about what's going on with us. You've been away on your holidays, gorging ice cream.
I have indeed, yeah. I went to Lowestoft to see some family. I took my camera with me, so I took some pictures, but I did also take my Razor Fold, took some pictures with that. I did actually take 4 phones with me, but I didn't touch any of the others.
4 phones.
Yeah, it was silly, really, because I only brought one out of me each time. But, yeah. I had good intention to use them all. Do you know what? I just can't get away from this Razer Fold. I need to go into the Razer 70 Ultra to really, truly test it. Because you've said there's some really good stuff you found. Because on the surface, we didn't think it was much of an upgrade, did we?
But... No, but they've got this new layer of software, which the Hello UI has got a new layer of software, which is in keeping with Android 16, basically. Some of those pill-shaped live ticker tape thingies across the top and that sort of thing. It's not, there's not huge differences, but when you turn it on, if you've got an last year's next to it or a signature or whatever, you can just see when you turn it on that the whole interface has just been spruced up a bit, and it just looks a bit different. Not hugely, but yeah, I'm finding as I go this and that and the other, so it is quite new. By the way, I looked on Nomad Tech Project last night when you showed the scratch on your Razer Fold screen. And I have to tell you that I would be completely happy living with that. I really would. It was just so small that when I can imagine that when you've got the screen lit up and you're looking at it, you don't even see it, do you?
You hardly notice it, only certain angles. As you can see, I was struggling to sort of get a good angle on my webcam to show it. But yeah, it's a bit frustrating, more because of the money I paid for it and that, but it's easy. I could live with it. And thank you for listening to Nomad Tech Project, because I feel sorry for everyone that does.
There's an awful lot of sport going on. I do, as you know, Joe, I watch it later on in the evening, and while I'm watching it, I'm kind of doing other stuff. I'm fiddling about with phones and I'm doing this and that and the other. And so if Sam starts to go on about some American sport I've never heard of, then I just kind of zone out for a while, and then when I hear the word Motorola or Pixel, I come back in.
I talk about football as well, don't I? So we even touched on Formula One, didn't we, for a very brief moment.
I can't believe that they had the football season has started again. We'll do it here as well, shall we?
Yeah, we could do, yeah. I mean, there is tech related there. I used my Virgin Go app to watch the first half of Arsenal's first game back, because I was in the car on the way home. And then I caught the second half on TV. So,
is that legal?
Yeah. It's Virgin Go app, so I can capture... actually, was it on Sky or TNT? I can't remember now. No, it was on Sky, so I had to go through the Sky app, sorry. But logging in with my Virgin. It's great. That's where Foldable comes in really, really handy when you want to watch some football in the car.
Right. So they've got a deal going with the Premiership, have they?
Yeah. Sky have got a load of games, but so has TNT Sports as well.
Oh, but so Virgin piggyback it, I suppose, do they?
Yeah. Okay. Talking of watching sports, this is where VPN came in really good. Arsenal were charging to watch pre-season games, and I'm not paying for that, at least not the amount they wanted. So I put my VPN, and I was in India, and I watched it from India. And it cost like 20 pence.
VPNs are really useful when you just can't And I don't use them unless I'm pushed, but when you are pushed, you can just get to stuff, and it's just really, you know, it's just a nice little route, isn't it? By the way, I just wanted to fill in a gap from your show last night, which was about the Sony event.
Yes.
And it is this event that's coming up is the Sony 10 Mark 8. And I think I can promise you, that it really is not very exciting. It didn't look to me, from what's been leaked so far, it didn't look any different from the Mark 7, which is, you know, I mean, that's what Sony do, isn't it? But if you've got a Mark 7 like I have, there's no way that I'll consider upgrading. It may have a slightly better chipset, and I doubt if it's got any more RAM. And it's but it's got the headphone jack, and it's got the micro SD card support. So I mean, you know, the bones are there. It's just this event is just not going to be terribly exciting, is it?
No, not at all. Now they're not with any networks as well. You can only buy pretty much direct from them or John Lewis or something like that, I think. It's a bit not easy to get your hands on with them anymore, and they're very high priced.
There is an event coming up on the August the 27th, though, which is the next Samsung Unpacked, or whatever they're calling it. And this is going to be the event which equally everyone is kind of yawning about, because it's just going to be the Galaxy S26 FE, which is the kind of missing link to the line. So and again, it looks as though from leaks so far, it's going to be very much the same as the 25 SE. FE. It just seems to be the way it's going, doesn't it? But upgrades are a bit boring.
Will they mention tablets as well?
Yeah, sorry, if you're moving away from phones, I do believe that they have got the Tab S12 on the table as well. Are you interested in that?
Well, yeah, I know this is phone show chat, but I'm more interested in their tablets than their FE myself.
Yeah.
I know we have an FE user in our community, in Chad. He loves his FEs, but I'm not into the FEs myself. I like the flagship devices, though, don't I? So
Chad did say that he wasn't going to be buying this upgrade, though. He's going to be waiting.
No, he doesn't need to, does he?
No. At least skip this year, if not two. In fact, I've got a feeling that the last change he made, he had one that was about 4 years old. So good for him.
We should do a bit more.
Well, I had my S24 Plus out the other day looking at it and thinking to myself, you know, there's nothing wrong with this. It's still got, on the 7-year update cycle, it's still got about 5 left. I think, why on earth would anyone be upgrading? But I suppose eventually they'll lock in features like Google do with Pixels to some degree.
Yeah, I think Samsung have been quite good at backporting stuff, though, haven't they? Software wise, because the S24 Ultra is still using my work phone, and that's got plenty of legs on it, but we're tech geeks and want to try new stuff, but if I was a normal, I mean, I probably wouldn't have bothered with an Ultra even, to be honest.
the Plus is everything except the pen and the slightly bigger size, which is why I tracked it down. And I concluded I didn't really need the pen, to be honest. But there's one feature that I'm waiting for, which is coming out in the Home Up GoodLock module, which is the what is available in other OEMs, but also in the Octopi launcher, which is to put a dock background on. And that's what I keep checking to see when it's coming along. I quite fancy being able to do that on the Samsung, as well as other devices via different routes. But yeah, putting a background behind the dock, which is neat, I think. I suppose to some degree it's an Apple copy, isn't it? But I fancy that.
I'm all for copying the good stuff.
Totally. And I was interested also in you and Sam talking about the Pura X View. which everyone just seems to agree. I think everyone that I've heard speaking about it seems to agree that everyone wants it. We want this. Why isn't Honor making one?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Honor are working on it, but it'll come out in China first, of course.
I think it's a nice form factor. I've heard one or two people on YouTube kind of saying, well, I'm not sure, but most people like the idea, I think, particularly if they've had hands-on with the Galaxy Fold or the my original generation Pixel Fold. And this is going to have a big battery, allegedly. What is it, 7,000?
Yeah,
I think it's 7,000 milliamp hours, 12 gigs of RAM, a terabyte of storage, coming in four different colors, and it's going to be running Harmony OS. Hurrah!
Yeah, I'm too much baked into Google, sadly, too. I know there's workarounds, I just couldn't.
Did you see the Redmi K100? Now, this is an interesting one, I thought, because the Redmi K100 has got a sketch pad on the back of it. So it's got the Bose speaker thingy going on. And you on the actual back of the phone, you can just... I'm not quite sure how you actually do it, whether you do it on the screen or on the back, but you just write whatever you want on it. And from the way it reads, it looks like it slowly fades away through the day. And so the next morning when you wake up, you put something else on it.
Yeah.
So that looks
there's a Pro and a Pro Max. Do they all do it, or just the standard K100?
Oh, this 100? No, this is I'm not sure. This is the K100 Pro. So
there's a Pro Max as well.
Is there?
Yeah, I'm just looking on GSM Arena.
Okay.
I don't know how much difference is there. Oh, it's slightly bigger, the Pro Max, of course. Slightly heavier. I think everything else is the same. So it probably does have the same thing you're referring to.
Yeah. Yeah, quite possibly. But it looks like a bit of fun anyway. And that Bose backfiring speaker. I know that, we've kind of looked at that before on last year's F8, and this year's F9 is going to have it, apparently, the Poco. And reviewers are kind of saying, yeah, something and nothing. It certainly is loud, but the quality is, I think people were just expecting more from it, which is a bit of a shame.
Expectations being too high, though, or it being rubbish?
Maybe.
I think probably expectations being too high. It's still, like we say, physics, the size of the device, what you can realistically achieve. They're well-spec phones, aren't they? And they're great value for money, these.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just the software, isn't it?
Yeah. I was going to say, if you can live with the whole... Xiaomi front end, then it's a no-brainer really to go with the devices, because they are really well spec'd and really, really well priced, and some of them are small. Is it the Xiaomi 17, the base one, that is I think it's less than 6.3 inch screen? I really fancy the size of that one.
Which one is Xiaomi 17? Has someone got a Xiaomi 17?
It's very complicated, because there's the 17T as well. And then there's a 17 something else, I think.
Scott Brady's got the 17, hasn't he? Has he got the 17? I might be wrong.
I think there's only one of them that's got the smaller screen, though. Like the Pixel 9 screen that I've got.
Yeah, your 17 is smaller, definitely.
Right, okay.
330 milliamp hour battery still, though. Does look like a nice small device. It's been out for quite some time now. Yeah, 6.3 inch screen, so that's small these days.
Yeah.
That's like the 600 Pro, really.
Yeah. You still got that in hand, have you?
I have. I shouldn't have, but I have. that's one of the four that came with me. It's now died. Right. I need to charge it. I need to do more with it, because I've had it for such a long time, and I've only done one video with it at Wingfest. which was great fun. It did quite well. The video performed better than the 400 Pro, actually, I felt. So there's improvements there, definitely.
Right.
Going back to software, I found something really good on MeWe.
Yeah.
Which I mentioned to you briefly before. So when you select your groups now, you've got the four squares at the bottom. This is on a mobile device. And when you go in there, you can see how many new posts there are since you last clicked in there, which I thought was quite a nice feature. And it's very clean, looking through your different groups. Because we've got quite a few now in our PSC community, haven't we? So yeah, I thought that was quite a nice feature. Maybe it's not all that bad.
Well, there's been a lot of bad feeling this week in MeWe about the way in which they've completely upended the UI. Me personally, as you know, I spend most time on the UI on my desktop and less on mobile. But I think that the people also on the mobile, to some degree, are kind of questioning how they're doing things and where they have to go to get the things that they were familiar with before and blah, blah, blah. And I put a post in the MeWe group encouraging people to feed back and tell them and say to them, you know, what are you doing? And let's have some, let's have some continuity, I think the word is, and not changing it every 5 minutes. So, yes, I would encourage people to feedback. On the web page, down the bottom left-hand corner, they have now put a very clear feedback button. On Android, I don't know about Apple, but on Android, you go to the top right-hand corner hamburger and tap on that and scroll down and you get
support and info feedback.
So you can easily tell them what you like and don't like. I would encourage people to do that because it seems to be natural for people not to bother and just to let someone else do it but just kind of moan anyway. So please do feedback, good people.
Yeah, silent complaints don't make change, sadly. So we need to feedback.
Exactly. Right, now I've just got a message from Steve Litchfield to say that he's not going to join us today because he's away at the moment. And I was holding off until I thought he might pop in to talk about his Fairphone 6 Plus review, which is I think it's the longest video review he's done for yonks now. It's seven minutes long, and he's got hold of this Fairphone 6 Plus, and there is a possibility that he might be able to share with us as well before it goes back. Although Fairphone, with their PR sending out phones, have got a track record of not letting people keep them for very long. So it might be that we won't get it because he'll have to send it back quickly. I remember that from before, but maybe things have changed. But his review was interesting, certainly. It was a bit kind of more of the same, I suppose. The Fairphone 6 Plus, it has got a improved display. It's got a 120 hertz refresh rate now, and it is a LTPO display, which is much brighter than the 6. It's got a faster performance with the Snapdragon 7s Gen 3 and UFS 3.1 storage. It's got longer software support now than the 6 because it's a year later and it's going to go on till 2033 potentially or even longer. He also said, I think, that it has a better main camera sensor and a better selfie camera as well with autofocus. Slightly more compact and lighter in design. And he showed off also that dedicated side switch, which he quite rightly said is a bit kind of gimmicky. And I can't imagine people are using that really, particularly as he showed when you swipe up, it kind of you see the home page in the way anyway every time you swipe. I'm guessing they'll fix that in software, but there you go. What else? It's got an always on display. It's got Gorilla Glass 7i instead of 5, which was on the 6. it's got a battery that you need to use a screwdriver. So that's not different. It's the six that introduced the battery that doesn't come out easily. And then you get these modular accessories, which I think is much the same. It feels to me as though the device was released for America. This was the whole point of it. The six they didn't release in America, and this one they have. And they've made a big song and dance of the fact that you can buy this in America. And that seems to be the focus of the whole campaign. Not that it's a particularly an upgrade to the Fairphone 6, just that it's going to be in America, and the 6 is not in America. But in Europe, we are allowed to buy both of them, so that they're selling out of Finland the 6 and the 6 Plus to us, but Americans could only get the 6 Plus. It's a bit confusing. I'm not quite sure on the strategy. But... yeah,
probably red. Something to do with red tape, maybe on certain things that needed for America.
Yeah, regionalization of things. Perhaps it's to do with bans and stuff. The other thing to say is that I sent off my Fairphone 5, and it did come back in the end, because I basically bricked it, mucking about. I put Lineage OS on it, and then I tried to put Ubuntu on it, and then I tried to put something else on it. In the end, I just bricked it, and I asked Mike Warner about it, and he said we'll send it back. So I sent it off to France, and it was bounced back to me once because of customs or something, as previously reported. And then I sent it the second time, and the second time it worked, and they got it, and they did it. They put it on their machine, and they fixed it, and it was fine. So they sent it back to me the second time within a few days. It wasn't long at all. And they charged me about 40 quid. Oh, blimey, go away. That's a Motorola speaker talking to me. Go away.
Oh, that fancy speaker you've got.
Yeah, which we might come to a bit later. But anyway, the thing is that it was fixed. It's all done, and I can now use it for all of the Google services, including financials and NFC and paying at Tesco and all the rest of it. And so when it arrived back, you know what I'm going to say now, full of enthusiasm, put my SIM card in it. Yes, this is me going forward. And then I just got fed up with it really quickly because there's no always on display for one thing, which is annoying. And I've got two batteries for it, but the batteries are really bad. They just don't last at all. It's no wonder they took the always on display off of the software on the Fairphone 5. But it's a nice phone.
Did you get your 40 quid's worth? That's the question.
Yeah.
Playtime.
I suppose I did. It's really nice to have it in stock, because when they do the updates, it's cool, and I like that. And it's a bit like having the Pebble watch, and a bit like having the Nothing phone, and that you're kind of in amongst the community, and they tell you what they're doing, and they give you great feedback in terms of changes and all that sort of thing. So there is that. It feels like you're stepping away from AI everything. When you use a phone like a Fairphone, no AI at all, unless you include that Moments thing on the 6,
which you love, well, don't you?
even Nothing phone are kind of baking in some AI stuff as well with their Elements thingy, whatever it's called. And so, yeah, stepping back from that sometimes is really nice.
Refreshing.
And then you go back to Motorola or Honor or Apple, or no, not so much Apple, I suppose, but Samsung for sure. And it's just blathered with AI. Even side players like TCL, the next phone, and off the wall kind of firms that you think they wouldn't be doing AI, but they are. The next phones have got loads of it on there.
Yeah, they all feel anyway. The need to, don't they, to keep up, because it's not going away, is it, really? If anything, it's accelerating further. So they've got to keep up, I guess. I think it's in people's faces on some devices more than it should be, because it should be a choice whether you want to use it or not. Sometimes you feel like you're forced to use it. I don't know. It's I know some people are very anti-AI, which I get. I don't mind it. It's quite a good tool.
Sometimes, yeah. I use Gemma a lot. And I've been trying to learn how to use Affinity Publisher tool because of Publisher going away from Microsoft. And honestly, I would never have got it if I didn't have Gemma to throw stuff at and say, how do you do this? How do you do that? And then about 3 days later, asking the same question again because my brain can't remember it. How do you do that again? Tell me that again. And, you know, she's always there and you can just ask away. And it's really, really tempting to think of it as a human being, as we've said before.
Yeah.
Really, really tempting because, you know, and you end up saying thank you to her and saying, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I dare say a lot of these AI assistants are sort of companions to some people at times, because yes, it can be quite pleasant to talk to Gemma, can't it? Did you know, Ted, that you can look at all your history, all the previous chats you've done with her?
Yeah,
you can see it, so you don't have to ask the same thing. Or you
although some people say that it's best to start a new conversation because it will work quicker if it's not checking back the context of the same conversation.
Yeah. Yeah,
so there are two ways of approaching it, but you're absolutely right. And on the left hand side of my desktop version of it, there's a search bar as well, there's a search button. So if you want to track a conversation you've had previously and you know you've got some keywords, you can chuck them in and it finds it, and it works really well. Or you can pin the conversations. I've got about 10 pinned conversations to the top of the list. I can go back to them whenever I need to and they don't get lost in the list down the bottom. So, yeah, there's definitely plus sides to AI, but writing emails for you?
In my
Gmail, I'm using Gmail and it offers me a response, and I don't think I've ever once actually accepted the response. It's completely pointless. Do you get that?
I don't email much, as you know, but when I do, I do see it. I'm not a fan of it writing things, whether it be a CV, an email, or people even use it for their written articles and stuff. I mean, it's nice to get to support you, but when it's writing the whole thing, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? There's people been tricking people with some code in there, haven't they? So, you know, for like people with their schoolwork, they've been putting, they're trying to, because they use AI to go through people's schoolwork, and they've told to put AI in like white lettering so it's not seen on the screen, like, please ignore this line, this hasn't used AI, and stuff like that, to try and fool AI into accepting their schoolwork. It's wild, isn't it?
Are you talking about the teachers?
Yeah, so teachers will use AI to filter through people's work to see if AI has been used.
Right.
And then they can disqualify them from...
Okay.
But they're trying to trick the AI now, saying, please ignore, with like lines in their work that's clear, like white. And stuff like that.
There are all sorts of things, but both sides are fighting, aren't they? You know that I use TikTok quite a lot. Well, there's a thing going on TikTok at the moment where they put pornographic images, sometimes moving, and they kind of filter them over the top with this green kind of mush. And also they put loads of writing and words across the top. And there's another one that I bumped into, which has got pictures of people playing football or trains flying past or whatever it is, and then the voiceover is giving a commentary on some seedy sexual thing that has gone on. The point is, though, that everywhere they're trying to put this AI in and make it useful, and all the other side of it, they're trying to get it into get past it. So
yeah,
I think it's the same as same as what you're saying about teachers and school kids. Of course, people are going to try and find the easy way out, aren't they?
Of course, yeah. It's a tool now that lazy people have found, because as many smart people find it and use it for good things. Mm-hmm. But I guess you could argue that some smart people would use it for the quick way round as well. But yeah, I mean, we're quite lazy, aren't we, us humans? We want things done.
One of the ways that I use it is if I'm writing a film review, I will write it and then I'll chuck it at Gemma and say, can you check it for grammar and for British English spelling? And then that's it. Then she will chuck it back at me. And it's basically checking that you're not making little silly errors, not getting her to do the whole job.
See, for me, this is a great, just using it as a tool as it should be. I mean, and I would maybe ask questions like, is there anything that you think I should add? Or like something, if you did want to just check that you're not missing something important, or an idea that you've not thought of. But yeah, using it as a tool like that is what I think it's for, not writing things for you whole.
Absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, so where are you at with your Razer 70 Ultra? You did a unboxing, didn't you?
Yeah, I did unboxing. I do love my 100mm lens, so I can get really close and show off what it looks like. So, I know you don't like the color, but I don't mind it. You know, it's kind of grown on me already. Yeah, the orient
I'm changing
blue.
My mind.
Yeah, it's kind of growing on me. And actually, I didn't like the case last year. And I know it's pretty much the same case, but I seem to like it more in this blue. So I think I'm going to use it in the case that it comes with. I can't bother to buy one, if I'm honest, Ted, as well.
what about going naked, though?
I just don't feel confident to. I mean, if it was mine, I would be tempted to. But as I've got to give it back, I'm quite worried about damaging it. So I'm going to put my main sim in this time. Right. Because although it's not the form factor for me, it does grow on me massively when I'm using it. Mm-hmm. I know it will again, because it is such a lovely device. Do you know what? This case, I'm playing with it now in my hand, fidgeting, and the case feels really nice.
I like the buckle as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's really top quality. It's a premium case. I mean, as it should be, the price you pay is not a cheap device. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very nice. It's even the little slope to the power button is good. Really well made.
It is nice, and I like the texture on the back of it, which is one reason why I'm tempted to use it without the case on, because that back is actually very grippy. Now, the one we had last time, the 60 Ultra, that was made of wood on the back, and that was just completely stupidly slippery. There's no way you could use that without a case, I don't think. But this one, I think you can. There's a certain quite deep texture going on there, isn't there?
Yeah, because the 60 Ultra, Razer 60 Ultra, had the green Alcantara, same finish as this, didn't it? And that's the one I hoped to get in for review, and I didn't. So I'm really pleased to get the Alcantara one this time.
Right.
It is wonderful. It really is. And I like the difference of having different materials. So then you got the metal frame with that Alcantara.
Yeah.
It's a really cool finish. I mean, this is what Moto do best, right? I think one of the things they do best.
Yeah, and I try really hard to use the flip phone, the Razr, and I last a couple of days before I think I'm just opening it up for everything. Everything I want to do, I'm just opening it up, and then in the end, I just leave it open unless it's in my pocket. So I think to myself, what's the point of that? If you're leaving it open 90% of the time, you might as well just have a candy bar phone. But when it's in your pocket, that's great. Carrying it around and using it as a notification tool and a clock and a, you know, whatever, and also opening it up to take a phone call and shutting it to end the phone call, that's great. There's so much to like about flip phones.
But there is,
as you said just now, I just wonder if it's not really for me, but I do try.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat, aren't I, Ted? Yeah. Exactly the same reason. I pretty much find myself opening it most of the time. As usable as that outer screen is, I still find myself opening it just because I want a larger canvas, hence me having folds, so I've got the opportunity to have a larger canvas even more so if I want to.
But
it does grow on me. And I say I'm going to put my SIM in because my experience from the Razr 60 Ultra was good enough for me to do it again. So yeah,
I do think it's better than the Samsung one as well, don't you?
Yes. I mean, that's what I said in my review. I think it's probably the best flip around. Well, not many people are doing flips now. They've all dropped them, haven't they?
Well, they were saying that Samsung were not going to do another one, but it was just all speculation, really.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me though, Ted, because I mean, they've got two different book folds now, and the popularity of the 8 seems to be doing very well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I dare say, it depends on the numbers, I guess. It's all about numbers and money, isn't it? So, let's see. But I would not be surprised if they dropped the flip myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see what you think about the updated Hello UI, though, because I was quite impressed with that. I thought, oh, yeah, look, it's different. And it was working quite well and very kind of AI-ish.
Yeah, because they want to utilize AI more, don't they, Motorola? You can see it in every new device.
Indeed. Are you still wearing a Moto watch?
I am still wearing the Moto watch. Yeah, there's one watch that I'm tempted to buy, and that's the Honor Watch 6. Mm-hmm. But I do really like this Moto watch. It does everything, even though I've not got it set up to do any notifications at all. I kind of like that in a way. I don't know how accurate the fitness is on it, because I'm not a fitness guy.
No,
I don't know if you've tested yours in that way at all.
No, I haven't, I'm afraid.
We're the worst for that.
It's not going to be like a Wear OS watch, I don't think. But they have got this deal going with this firm. What are they called? So the engine behind because I put it in my review.
It starts with P, doesn't it?
Yeah, that rings a bell. And oh, here it is, Moto Watch, and it is done by I can't find the word. I actually didn't know the word when I first saw it, and I thought, oh, Polar.
Polar,
that's it. And so they do the back end of the tracking and stuff, and all the fitness stuff. So now that is not on the Watch Fit. You don't get that on the Watch Fit, the Moto Watch Fit. They haven't got Polar on there at all. It's only on the newer round watch. So I should
wear them both one day and see. I look like a bit of a strange man, but I might do that just to see how they differ
in
metrics. Apparently I've done 4,796 steps. I'm not sure how accurate that is.
How many days is the battery lasting?
At least five, I think, with everything on. I mean, I'm not getting much in the way of notifications, as I say. I'm on 11% now. I did charge it on holiday. Actually, I did. Probably midweek, Wednesday. Yeah, that's about 5 days, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I found. I think I said on the show before. I found that I was getting 6 days out of it, just about 6 days. So that's about the same, isn't it? Then.
Yeah, yeah. 5-6 days. Yeah, depending on what my usage is like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good watch.
But I do get more out of the watch fit, and that might be because it's smaller and it's not got the polar stuff going on. The battery on that definitely lasts a couple of days longer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't find it that much different. Maybe it did last 6 to 7, perhaps. Right. I can't remember. I got a short memory. Yeah.
So what's next up? Is it the 70 Ultra, the Razer Ultra?
My sim will go in there, but I'll still be. I need to do a review of the Razer Fold because I've had it long enough to give my thoughts, I think, in a video. So I'll work on that. But I also want to do more with the 600 Pro before I send it back, because any day now they're going to ask for it back. And I have been using the Magic Pad 4 more as well, because I've still got that with the pen and the keyboard. That's a really nice tablet, very, very nice tablet. I highly recommend that if anyone's looking for a slightly higher end tab.
You just haven't got enough time, have you?
Well, yeah, I have. I waste time when I do have time. That's my problem.
like going on holiday.
Well, all weekend, you probably heard me mention it with Sam. So I've been playing on BGA, which is Board Games Arena.
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah.
All weekend I was playing games. I could have made content at some point at the weekend, but no, I played board games online. perhaps I needed to just chill out after being away in Lowestoft. I'm making excuses now.
It'd be nice to see some coverage, though.
Yeah, I knew. I need to pull my finger out and do it.
And that, particularly the Razer Fold, which has been on promise. Well, I suppose the thing about your Razer Fold is that you own it, and so there's not any pressure at all in terms of time. Whereas these other ones you've got, the PR companies want them back. So,
yeah, exactly. So I should probably do something with the 600 Pro, although I've only got my secondary SIM in, and I have my secondary SIM for testing, but I find I don't use it much, the secondary SIM.
Right.
So that kind of defeats the object a little bit. I think I need to put my main SIM to really build my thoughts on and using it daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people prefer that as well, because in my 70 review, Edge 70, I was even honest and said, this isn't as good as my usual reviews in terms of my usage hasn't been as much. I had to be honest and say that, though, because I didn't want people thinking, oh, he's giving his thoughts and he's pretending he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's refreshing to have honest reviews, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. I think the use I did have with it, though, it warranted some kind of video, because that device, it really is super light, and the camera is really good for the on the main, and like all the motor goodness is on there. It really did warrant a video. It's too nice a device not to, and the price you can get it for at the moment, it needed shouting out. I think John Trimmer said his mum was thinking of getting one now for his mum. So yeah, that's a good shout. Because you get a big screen, but yeah, it's really lightweight. Because normally that size screen, you're talking about a bit more heft, aren't you?
Yeah.
I know you're not a fan, because I've mentioned it in my review as well. No always on display.
Yeah, that's the trouble for me. And, you know, I was talking about the Fairphone earlier, and that was, if it had an always on display, I, you know, that's not going to kill the battery. I would have lasted longer with it. It's funny, isn't it? How we all have our little foibles. And I fired up the Surface Duo 2 again this week.
And I
thought, you see, one of the things is that with that is that there's not much point in having an always on display because you close it up. Unless you leave it open, then that would be a bit pointless anyway, if you see what I mean.
So I thought
I would do is put my watch on it. And I just wanted to report back top marks to Google and Pixel Watch because the transfer from my Pixel 9, I've got a Pixel Watch 3, and it was all loaded up on the Pixel 9 and connected properly. And I thought to myself, if I try and put this on the Microsoft Surface Duo 2, it's bound to be a bit of a nightmare. But kudos to whoever is behind this, because it just worked beautifully without a hitch. Just like between two Pixel phones, really, and Google Health as well, all of it all just worked. And don't forget that the Surface Duo is back on Android 12L, so my Pixel 9 is on Android 17. That's going back five generations, and it just worked. It was just like I'd put it onto another Pixel device. But yeah, the point of the story was that you know, if you can get your notifications on a watch, then you can open the phone up less. And I suppose you could also argue that about the Razer, the 70 Ultra as well, couldn't you?
Yeah, if you paired up even the cheaper watch that I've got, you can sort notifications out. And that'd be quite a nice pairing, actually.
Mm.
Although the watch probably weighs almost as much as the phone.
but the Surface Duo is really nice. But yeah, I do get back to the same point about being really annoyed with all the Microsoft stuff on it. Which, you know, you can put Octopi on it or any other launch you fancy, really, and you can completely change it. But you know, at the end of the day, you want to, when you're testing phones, you want to really go with what the OEM has supplied, don't you?
Yeah. One good thing about the Duo, though, which I'll always stand by, is how it's geared up for multitasking. It's just brilliant. It's really slick, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the speakers are good.
Surprisingly good. Yeah.
Yeah. But in the Duo original, the speakers were not so good, but the Duo 2, they certainly are. But the only the downside of the Duo 2 is that you've got this great big camera lump in the way. If they had made the Duo 2 without that camera on the back, then it would have made me much happier to be able to close it back on itself like you can with the original. But you know, that's as it is. Other people wanted a camera, didn't they?
Yeah, you can't please everyone. So they decided to please no one by not doing it anymore.
Which is really annoying.
It's such a shame. Because I think it was a good product. Overpriced at full price, of course. It was pricey, wasn't it? Great products, I thought. We should probably touch on Pixels a little bit, shouldn't we?
Okay, go on.
I mean, I've seen one thing that a few people reported to me that's been quite negative. I've not had one to play with yet. And that's the camera app has really gone backwards a bit.
We're talking about Pixel 11?
Yeah, Pixel 11,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
One of my friends has done a long old tweet because he's sending his Pixel back. He's quite disappointed. I should get the tweet up, really, and mention it, some of the facts that he's put in there.
Are we talking about the base 11 or the Pro?
He's got the Pro.
He's got the Pro, yeah.
And also, Jermaine, who I've mentioned before, I haven't watched his video yet, but I was talking to him, and yeah, he said that the Pro is such a fiddle, and it's the same as what my friend Mac's saying as well.
So what's wrong with it? The camera does what?
The Pro mode, it's just really fiddly to change things. Really, really fiddly. And The word he said is convoluted.
Right.
He said, like changing from 12 megapixels to 50 megapixels or raw to JPEG and all these things, it's just, they're not, it's not intuitive. It's quite a bit of a workaround finding where you need to do it. And because it's very at odds with what Google's software is normally like. Because I recommend Google's to most people who are not sure what device to go for. And when I say what's the most important, they say a decent enough camera and simple UI and stuff like that. And I say, well, Pixel's the one then. I think it's in part, though, these two people I'm mentioning are very camera centric.
Right.
And they do, they use standalone cameras as well as mobile devices. So they do look at pro mode and that. But yeah, the feedback's really bad on the camera app, apparently. But yeah, I'd still like to get hands on, just for a little play. I'm kind of interested in just the standard model, though.
Do you think that Google will fix that? Or do you think that it's so niche with the people you're talking about and no one else will be complaining about it?
I think so, because I don't think Google ever wanted to give us a pro mode, my theory is. So them hiding pro things kind of makes sense, because Google is all about their computational photography, isn't it? And them giving the results for click of a button. I think that's what they sell their Pixels. They're not aiming at pro mode users.
So why did they put it on then?
Because people moaned, I guess. Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one, isn't it? They listen, but they don't listen. But yeah, I still reckon would recommend probably Pixels to a lot of people, although the price point's not quite as cheap as it used to be. That was one of the reasons I'd recommend it before. Because, on holiday, I said I was going to record a little interview with my brother and sister.
Yes.
Because I thought it'd be quite an interesting little thing to plot in, because they're definitely norm mobs, as we'd call them. And I've influenced their buying. My brother has a 9A, Pixel 9A, and my sister has a Pixel 7 or 6, I think she's got.
Right.
So she's due an upgrade, actually. But yeah, they've both gone for Pixels under my recommendations. It's quite funny.
And the apart from that, though, the Pixel, it's the same size. It's the same. One of the things that I've been looking at reviews on the Pixel 11 is that it's just more of the same, except a couple of people have said that the camera island on the back is, well, laying aside the new highlight thingy, but the actual physical camera island thingy is slightly smaller, so it sticks out less far. And one or two people are saying that they found cases that you can make it completely flush with, like the 10A, or in your relative's case, the 9A.
Yeah, but that's what they did with the 10A, isn't it? Made it even more flush. So yeah, that does make sense that they're trying to do that. I mean, they're a bit like Samsung and Apple now, aren't they? They're going to make very little changes from device to device.
It does feel very much like an Apple device. I was thinking that today. My Pixel, with my Pixel 9, you look at it and you think, you know, if you'd snapshot what this looks like and how it behaves and what it does, say, I don't know, 5 years ago, you'd say, that's just that they've completely copied Apple in almost every way, including physically.
Yeah, the only thing they've got going for them is the camera visor looking quite unique.
I'm talking about the kind of, you know, the mainly about the UI, really, about the fonts and how they've made the fonts just work. One of the good things I always used to say about Apple phones was iPhones was that they got the font right, so it just works. It doesn't matter how small your Apple phone is, it will just still work nicely on the screen. And I think that is now true of Pixel devices as well. They've honed the thing to make it look really, really good. More Apple.
Going with the software, though, like it's saying it's more like Apple, I think there is an argument to say that Apple's copied some Android stuff as well. So to a degree, they've become more similar together, if you like, over the years. Yeah.
Merging. Everything's
Merging, yeah.
merging into one.
Yeah.
Except Fairphone.
Well, I do wonder with the progression of AI, how like AI takes over UI quite a lot in the future. Because that's what the big bods are saying at the moment, AI becoming UI, and linking with your other products and talking to each other and stuff like that. So I wonder how much the difference between Android and iOS will be a thing as much in the future.
It's all a bit kind of unknown, isn't it? But
Yeah.
the march of a the forward march of AI is the thing. I have talking about the Pixel 11. I have heard quite a few people saying that the Pro Fold is unimpressive. In fact, I've got a feeling that Shane Craig was one of them who were saying that this is just, as boring as buggery, and compared with other folds that are out there, Pixel are just behind with this, and it's just not interesting in any way. And it's the same thing. And he was holding it up against the Honor and the Samsung and other ones, and saying, Google need to move on with this with their book folding device. Do you think?
Yeah, me and Sam briefly spoke about this yesterday as well, because my theory is that they're going all in with the Google Book at the moment, so they're not giving any thoughts to the foldable side of things, which is quite sad because I can see Google potentially bringing out a really good foldable, but they just don't seem interested, do they? They're just not bothered.
No, I don't know what they're at. I must have missed that bit on the show last night. I do
Yeah, I mean,
apologize.
it was only brief. You might have been going toilet or something at the time, maybe. But yeah, I was just saying, the Google Books, they're putting a lot of stock in there, aren't they? So I guess
I
a lot
think so.
of R&D and focus has been on that, because they need to land that, don't they? Land that
And that,
well.
yeah, there's an
So.
event coming up in September where they're going to be launching that. We spoke, Gareth and I spoke about this at some length on the Tech Addicts podcast on Sunday, and they're going to have a media event where they're going to kind of spill the beans. I'm quite excited about it, but we'll see how that fits in with their overall plan, won't we?
Google should invite us, shouldn't they? They
They
forgot to
should.
again.
That's what Gareth said. After I've been banging on about it for about 10 minutes, he said they should have invited you.
Yeah, they should have. And then you could have declined them because you can't, don't want to go. But
Anyway.
yeah, it's interesting, Google. I mean, I don't know how much they care about their phones, though. Do you think? I mean, are they growing that much in the markets? I think Honor are taking quite a lot of their market share in Europe.
It's all America, isn't it, for
Yeah,
Pixel?
it feels like that's been their focus, just trying to grow market share there. But
And
yeah, I don't know.
to nick it off of Apple, that's what they're
Yeah.
after, which is exactly why they're making their phones so Apple-like.
Yeah.
And in order to get away from that, you've got to go back to the Pixel 8, I reckon. That's my theory. The Pixel 8 and before were unique, kind of looking not Apple-ish, and
Yeah.
as soon as the 9 came along, which is the one I ended up with, it all feels very, very Apple. But yes, that's what they're after. They're after making Apple users feel comfortable with the hardware and the software, so that they can nick them over and wrench them away from Apple.
Well, good luck with that, because in the US, that's going to be a tall order.
Yeah, definitely.
I just feel it. That Google really, remembering that they're a software business, advertising business, the phones are just feels like a bit of fun for them though. I don't know.
It's expensive fun, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
With the Nexus line and the early Pixel line, you could argue that it was cheap and it's fine. get in bed with Google and you'll get a cheap phone and you get the latest stuff, and it won't be that brilliant hardware, but you can just use the software and go along with what they're bringing out. But now, what is a baseline Pixel 11 is, what is it, £1,000?
Let's have a Pixel 11.
Oh, no, sorry, it's 879. So, all right, not as expensive as I thought then. That's the 256 gig, 12 gig version. The 512 gigabyte version is £1,000.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen probably in our community, I think there used to be a lot of people that would dabble with Pixels for a bit. Mm-hmm. I see less of them on classified now, which suggests less of people are using them. And yeah. I think people, it's one of them, we recommend to normals, but we don't use them ourselves.
I think this whole Samsung Fold thing has been so big, the Fold 8, that's been the real buzz of what's been going on lately. We see those being bought and sold on our classifiers, don't we?
Yeah, there's one on there now, actually. For £1,000, yeah.
Right.
Dan Carter's got it up there.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're bang on there, Ted. They seem to be popping up every now and again. There was a real good deal the other day. Brendan put one up, didn't he? And it went within minutes, I think.
Did it? Wow.
I think I commented about six people bought it before I'd even seen it.
It's just an interesting form factor, and I think that Samsung have been really smart with it in terms of you know, taking a risk, I suppose, when no one else was doing it apart from Huawei and back with the original generation Pixel Fold, but they were also fearing that Apple were going to do it, of course, which they probably will soon. And they want to be ahead of the game with that, I suppose. But it's a nice phone. You've had hands-on, I haven't.
Only briefly, yeah. We need to get someone on that's actually had hands-on, more hands-on. Hmm. Well, Jim's got one now, hasn't he? He said he weren't going to do it, but he couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
John Trimmer has gone for one as well. Of course, he can't help himself. Anyone want to come on and talk about their Fold 8? You're very welcome to join us.
definitely. Talking of which, no one's turning up tonight, are they?
No.
They're all giving us. I was thinking about, you know, I've noticed during the last couple of months that the interaction and the engagement on the MeWe group has been really dumbed down, very slow. I was posting the other day about, you know, photo of the month and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
There was the least votes ever for photo of the month. And there's also the least thumbs up emoji to count to get to the photo of the month. And I've noticed that on Whatever Works as well, and in Tech Addicts, the engagement is just really, really down. And then I was thinking to myself, maybe this happens every summer and I just have forgotten or something. And maybe it's the fact that people with lives in the summer actually are going out and doing stuff and not spending their whole time in MeWe. And when it's dark evenings and cold, then they've got nothing else to do and they're bored with the telly, so they turn on MeWe and have a chat about this, that and the other. I don't know, what are your thoughts?
I guess potentially, I mean, I hope so, because it'd be quite sad to see engagement die on our lovely community. If anyone's got any feedback or we've got any thoughts as to why engagement's down, please let us know. We'll be interested to know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what else have we got to talk about? Anything? Or should we get an early shower?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure we could ramble on about other stuff, but perhaps we should get an early shower.
I've got a photo of the week I picked out. I know we weren't doing this on these drop-in shows, but I spotted this one called Dead Calm by Mark Mocken, which he took with an Oppo Find X9 Ultra in Lanzarote. And the reason it caught my eye was because it's dead calm, and I remember the film so well, the Dead Calm film, which is about this Fruit Loop on a boat, just like that. And I'm sure that's why he's called it Dead Calm.
I'm sure.
And the water, the light is going across the water, and it's it looks all serene and sinister and really dark, and the frame is divided into two. And I thought, actually, that's actually quite. I'm not sure about technically, but it's in terms of artistic stuff, it's a really nice image. So I thought I would. Do you like that one?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I do love that light bouncing through the middle of there of the water and. The rest being pitch black. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, it's very a great cool. phone. Great phone for, well, probably one of the best for camera phone. Actually, do you know what? There was one of his pictures as well. I liked Mark Mockin. He was in the water. Where is it now?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, blimey. This Motorola speaker system is worse than Gemini. It seems to listen to you and just jump in inappropriately, even more than Gemini does.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, do carry on.
Yeah, so it's I think it must be his daughter. There's a young lady in the water, though, and you can see the sun behind her. And he's in the water himself where he's taking it from. And it's a wonderful image. I'm going to stick it in the show notes now for you to see, Ted.
I remember it, yeah. It was nice.
Yeah, I just thought it was a wonderful shot. He has got a great eye, Mark Mockin. And it's good to see him posting more images again. Probably coincided with him having the X9 Ultra to play with. But yeah, it's a wonderful shot.
Yeah, definitely. There's another one as well, which I thought you were referring to just now, which you did give the old, I think you made a comment on it, which was by Gary Fenton.
Yes, yes.
With this bloke, good. This bloke in a spa in Windermere, I think you quite liked that one as well, didn't you?
Yeah, that one could easily be a advert for a spa, that one I thought it was really good, a good image.
Yeah.
Well taken.
That was with an iPhone 16. What's the one that the other one you're talking about with Mark Mockin? Was that the same phone then?
That's the X9, yeah, the X9 Ultra.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I believe so. Let me double check again.
Yeah, it is. No, I'm not.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
A Playa de Papagayo Beach.
Yeah.
he's obviously been to Lanzarote and had a lovely time by the looks of it.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing more images, Mark.
Right, I've got one classified pick as well, which is the Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra by Ashok Parturi. And this is brand new. Box has been opened because he opened it and looked at it. It was an impulse buy, he says. 256 gigabytes in black. Impulse buy, open the box, look at it, decide that you prefer the phone you've got, put it back in the box, £725. So I thought that was my pick probably of the bunch in the classifieds. But as I say, we didn't really intend to do classifieds in this group today because we were expecting people to turn up and talk to us.
Yeah, boo. As we have done it, though, I'm going to give you a pick, Ted, as well.
Okay.
Right. As I mentioned, Dan Carter has got a Fold 8 on there. 256 gigabyte model. It's got a clear case and a perfectly installed privacy screen protector. And I've seen he's reduced it now again. So he's reduced it twice. It's now at 975.
Wow.
It's not bad, is it?
No, that's really good. So yeah, and Dan is certainly to be trusted.
Yes, definitely.
Good guy. Who was just recently on the show, as you will remember.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
Yeah, cool. Okay, then, let's wrap it up then and say that phoneshowchat.uk is our website with two S's in the middle. If you want to get a copy for me, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy a coffee for Joe, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. If you get lost, you can go to PodHub UK on Steve's site, or just Google it, you'll find it. And you can also get everything at tedsalmon.com, which is all of our other MeWe groups and all of our other audio podcasts. We have got this week coming up a projector room, so Gareth and I will be doing that in a couple of days, and the PSC photography podcast will be back. What date is it now? The 24th. It must be in about 10 days time. We're back on the trail with the PSC photography podcast, so we'll look forward to that one. Next week we've got a guest with us. Not next week, 2 weeks time we've got a guest with us. Godfrey Lisk, who you will remember was supposed to be coming on before a couple of months ago, and he had to bail out, but he's coming back to do that. And then 2 weeks after that we've got Ed House, who's going to come on and join us and talk to us about probably very, very, very much probably about lots of photography stuff. So Ed will be able to bring all of that to the show. Right, have I forgotten anything?
No, some good shows coming up there. Yeah, I'm looking forward to them.
If you want to book up to come onto a show, then let us know. We'd kind of do it every 2 weeks, but if we want to sneak one in between the fortnights, we can. So just, you know, let us know when you want to come on. And it doesn't have to be on a Monday. If it needs to be a different day, we can do that as well, within reason. Yeah.
Ted, just on that, when I've shouted out for anyone who's a Fold 8 user, it would be good to slot one of them in somewhere with someone.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
shout out to anyone who's got that if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time, unless we've got enough to talk about next week, when we might sneak an extra show in. But the plan at the moment is 2 weeks' time, and we'll catch you then. And thank you all so much for turning up to our drop-in, you cads.
Dropouts.
Yeah. Okay, bye for now.
Bye.